Is it a dumb game, or am I just dumb?
What's dropping?
If you are looking for relevant gaming coverage from experts, you are not getting it on this show.
Got a big date tomorrow. Got any tips an old chunk of coal like myself can use to ensure it's a full success?
Don't make any eye contact.
All right, noted.
Look like you're miserable.
Well, that's not hard. That's how I look.
Fidget a lot.
Okay.
Talk about super depressing stuff.
That's easy. I mean, that's what I fall into anyway, is just that spiral of depression. So
that's what's worked for me in the past. So
yeah. And your success rate is at, like, a 99%, I would say.
I'm one of the most eligible bachelors in all of the world. A hot commodity on OkCupid. I cracked the code.
You're like the what's that, SEO? Is that what that's called when people are good? You're like the SEO master on OkCupid. You know exactly what buzzwords to use. Not me. Not me. I have no idea how to manage women.
how to assemble a stable and care and feed for them. And
yeah.
Isn't that what you're supposed to be doing?
I thought so. I thought it was supposed to be sort of like one of those Tamagotchis. What are those pets that people have over in Japan?
Tamagotchi.
Yeah, that's what girls are like, right? It's just a more advanced life form, I suppose.
Yeah, right? That's what science says.
I have a big problem with this whole dating thing, but I'm kind of excited about the date tomorrow. This girl at least seems like she's got a noggin on her shoulders. Last few people I dated, and this isn't a knock against some of the more longer term ones, but I'm just talking about like a date. It's just miserable. You know, you go out and you clearly can tell that they do not give a shit about you or what you stand for or what you are all about. If I even mentioned this podcast to any of those girls that I went out on a date with, they would have headed for Z Hills. They would have been gone. I had to walk this fine line between, you know, I'm just a casual, regular old dude without revealing how nerdy I can get about stuff. It's really, and that's the irony of it all, is that all these girls are saying, you know, I want a nerd, but like they want a guy who's hot who just happens to wear glasses is what they want.
My problem with it is that dating feels so perfunctory. Like there's no genuine engagement. Everyone might as well be wearing a Bluetooth and talking to their personal assistant who, you know, while you're on the date is actually lining up the next dates, right?
Yeah.
Everybody feels like they're just kind of peeking in on the scene, and it's just these standard BS conversations. I want to talk about shit that's real. Like death. Like, how are we not dead yet? I mean, when I was in the bar today, I was just thinking about it. We could all be dead. Anything could happen right now and we'd be dead, and it would be great. You know, like, do you the relief of death today would have been so wonderful. I wouldn't be here right now.
And that would be a plus for sure. I didn't live through this day just to end it with this podcast, people. I should have ended life earlier. I mean, it was a good day up until now.
So that would be my suggestion on this date, is just talk about death your opening line of the date should be, have you ever thought about death as a kind of relief? Have you ever anticipated death?
Furthermore, have you ever anticipated death by my hands?
That'll turn things up.
Just kick the heat on a little bit.
You know, there was a guy in the BART today too. BART is a whole scene.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There was a guy today. I always wondered about if these people existed. I finally saw one in the wild. This is the guy who goes to those stupid ass templated WordPress marketing sites that, you know, are run by some charismatic white dude or whatever who's going to offer you great tips on how to live your life. You know, like 13 ways kale will change your life and that kind of stuff.
Right.
I finally saw someone browsing one of those sites and he was engaged. He was scrolling through the article. He was reading the comments. I think he might have even liked one of those things. All I saw, the whole article, there was some big punchy headline. I couldn't read it. But there was like a block of text and then a stock photo of a phone. And this guy was loving it, just encased in ads, like an outer crust of ads surrounding the thing. And the guy was exactly how you'd expect him to be. Mid-50s, long-ass ponytail, glasses, thin as hell, pleated pants, hiked nigh close to his belly button, and just loving life.
Tube socks.
Tube socks. Definitely when the weather gets warmer, sandals.
Yeah. Oh, God. I could never be that. I can't do that kind of stuff. And I can't be false on this date either. I'm going to be myself. And even if that entails being morose but I think that even yields a bit of an inquisitiveness in some way. Like, I think that if the person's worth their weight, they'll not only tolerate what I have to say, but they'll like actually build off of it. And we can actually have a decent discussion about something as I don't know, as ephemeral as death, and you know what I mean. I think that's actually a good conversation to have, and people aren't having it. Instead, they're talking about, I mean, I don't even know, what was the worst date you were on, I don't know, in the last 6 months? What was it? What did you guys talk about or not talk about?
It was, the thing that made it horrible was this person was, it seemed like, incapable of human communication.
Even more so than us.
I felt as if I walked into this coffee shop and this person had just been removed from some holding cell. You know, she was one of those, like, she was one of those people you'd read about in pop psychology books or whatever, about how they were raised with very little human interaction as a kind of test tube baby. Like,
like Genie the Wild Child.
Yeah, she was a modern day version of that. I imagine she was just taken directly from her cell in which someone, you know, wrote her profile for her. And the place was planted with cameras, and I became part of some kind of psychological experiment where they're like, let's see if this wild child, you know, is capable of romantic interaction. Because, I mean, instantly, this woman just, she, it was like she was, had a hard time talking, and everything seemed to bother her. And at some point, she just called it quits and just took off. And I was like, thank God. Because I consider myself a pretty considerate person, and I have a very hard time, you know, just ending a date in a way. I'm going to see it to the bitter fucking end, even if I hate someone.
Right.
So thankfully, when she left, I was like, oh my God, this is wonderful. I've got my day back. I can go to the bookstore.
Because you were on lockdown with this girl then. I mean, like, you could, because of the way that you were built as how you function, you couldn't.
I mean, you're asking what kind of topics. I can't even remember. I was trying to ask about her background, things she's interested in. I was throwing it all out there. I was using everything in my arsenal, and just nothing was coming back. Oh.
Man, she probably thought you were ugly.
Something. I mean, clearly something was just off.
Something was amiss. Well, hopefully tomorrow everything is all a buzz, and we'll see what happens. I mean, if there's a love connection, you know, I'll let you guys know next week.
You'll quit the podcast. And
that's right. I gotta
dedicate yourself.
I'll be chasing that skirt. I got no time for this. Well, this isn't a dating podcast. How many podcasts do we begin with where I end up saying, well, this is an X type of podcast. This is a gaming podcast. And that's what it is. This is Super Dumb Games, episode, I don't know, 18, I think. And I'm one of your hosts, Chris.
Your other host, Tanner.
Boy, another solid week of not gaming for me. But I'm in a great pinball challenge league. I would invite anyone who wants to be invited. Intuit, come on in. It's a Google document. We just update what our scores are because, unfortunately, Pinball Arcade doesn't have the capability to track scores amongst your friends. Huge flaw for the game. I really wish they would allow you to do that. But loser picks the next table. I haven't lost yet. So that's what I've been playing.
I'm here to declare, following up on a previous podcast, I don't know, maybe it was 16, I think, where I said that I was playing Zen Pinball and I was feeling it out. I am here to declare that Zen Pinball is no Pinball Arcade.
Whoa.
It's not, there's no comparison, people. Zen Pinball is a straight busta. It's not, it isn't even half as good as Pinball Arcade. It's not as fun. And what made me realize this was Jeff Gerstmann on the Giant Bomb podcast, who also happens to be the person who turned me onto Pinball Arcade, by some weird circumstance was also testing out Zen Pinball, or at least it got brought up on one of their recent podcasts. And he's like, it sucks. And he explained why. And in him explaining why it sucked, it crystallized for me why I hadn't been enjoying it. And he hit on this fact about Zen Pinball. Sure, it sucks because it's not a real pinball table. It's all made up bullshit. At some point in the Star Wars pinball, you're actually deflecting laser bolts in it from one of those training robots. No. You're not even at, there's not even a pinball table in sight. That's stupid and dumb.
Yep.
But the real reason why it sucks is it, there's, the great thing about Pinball Arcade is those tables are like works of art. They're masterworks from the best people that have made pinball machines since pinball was invented. And you can tell why these are classic tables, because they're just chock full of brilliant little design touches, both mechanically and aesthetically. And Zen Pinball is designed by some tart at some modern video game company that isn't a pinball wizard. So it's like it's just a crappy video game, and it lacks all of the audio goodness of a pinball arcade game. It lacks all the cool decals and art. It sounds and plays a bit empty, whereas Pinball Arcade feels so full that shit is constantly popping off and things are blaring and lights are lighting up. It feels so active, whereas Zen Pinball feels very benign in a way. And I wouldn't recommend it, really. I think if you're looking to play a pinball game, or a pinball game, just go for Pinball Arcade.
When you first described it, I was trying to envision how it looked, and I looked at some screen caps and stuff. It's not for me. There's something about when it removes you from the table, I'm out of it. Pinball Arcade,
it's jarring.
Yeah, and Pinball Arcade has some of those mini games, but they're mini games that you would experience if you're playing the pinball game at the arcade. So in real life, if you have to, I think in which game is that? I think it's the Harley Davidson game. You have to use the left and right mouse button to dodge traffic in a small mini game that's like in pixels. It looks like shit, but it's like that's something you would have had to have done in the game itself if you were at the arcade. So I love that. It helps build your score. I don't want like a Harley to come screaming out at me, and I don't need that extra bit of shit in there. I need just the authentic tables. I don't want any of this other horse shit. Now you got me riled up.
So people can pass on that. I also played, and we tried to record, but failed because the multiplayer isn't quite implemented yet. But yeah. I played a little bit of 3089, which we talked about on a previous episode.
It's not a good
This game. Is, actually, it's 3089:...
Yeah.
Action role-playing game or something. I don't know. There's a colon in the title.
Futuristic action RPG.
Yeah, so I played a little bit of this. This is that game. It's designed by a guy named Fruit. It's just one person who came up with this game, and I guess he's made previous games. And it's a first-person action game with role-playing elements where everything is procedurally generated in the world. Which, when that pitch sounds monumental. A studio like EA would take 10 years to make that game.
Right.
And pour millions of dollars in it. Meanwhile, Fruit is just chilling on his Dell PC at home making this thing. So, needless to say, it lacks some polish. But it's...
Oh God!
But I love that it exists. I can't say I had a lot of fun with it, but this is what dumb games are made of.
Yeah,
the fact that one guy made this thing that you can purchase and go inside of and walk around in, where guns are randomly generated, quests are randomly generated. It's fascinating to me, and it's wonderful. It plays pretty horribly, but it has flashes of potential.
I think what's there. I was going to say, I think what's most important is not even what happens in game, but it begins it with what doesn't happen in game, when the game isn't responding the way you want it to. So you Google how to fix it, and you get motherfucking Fruit on the line telling you how to fix it. You don't get some tech support geek. You get the designer himself is yeah. on the horn, ready to tell you.
And he's everywhere.
Yeah.
He very possibly might be listening to this right now. And we love you, Fruit. I love that this game exists. It needs a shit ton of work.
The first thing I did in the game was I bought a rifle. First off, I jumped off of an extremely high cliff, did not die, did not take any
damage.
Which
is great.
Yeah, I didn't
take no fall damage.
Didn't take any fall damage. And then I bought a gun, and then I just saw a bunch of these motherfucking robots hanging out on top of a stoop, and I shot them. Like, what else you want me to do? I didn't want to talk to those things. So I shot them, and then they shot back, and I died. That was, my whole experience of the game.
So what you end up doing is you get quests that are clearly procedural in that take this to this and get this. There's clearly if-then-that statements
right.
underlying all of them. And one cool thing is all the robots have very proper English names. So it's like, go, to Jonathan Chamberlain and deliver the, and it's just a goddamn robot. And those quests get a bit repetitive, but the world, there are things happening in the world. You'll see battles happening off in the distance, and the map kind of expands, and there's a little decent art style there, and the guns clearly all vary, from place to place that you venture to. The problem is when you die, the guns break, which is one of my least favorite mechanics in games. I just think that's really poor. And the difficulty level of it, I would get on a quest line and maybe get a couple quests in, and then the difficulty seemed to get so hard that I couldn't progress. So there's a lot of work to be done, but this is one of the wonderful things I think about this moment in gaming culture right now is, people like Fruit just creating these absolutely mad experiences, these insanely ambitious things that build these tiny niche audiences that I hope we can uncover on this show.
And maybe to solve the problem of difficulty, maybe that's where the multiplayer component comes in. However, we just can't get that thing to work.
Yeah, that's why I wanted you to get in there, because you had piloting skills. Like, we could have gotten a little ship and taken off and seen if we could do quests together. We'll see.
All right. In my heart, the cut and the connection, I've already lost it.
The simulator game came out this week, but it got denied in favor of this week's What's Dropping? Glacier 3. Now, think of Glacier 3 in a sick-ass metallic font.
Okay.
: Now make that font fucking crazy. The Meltdown. Glacier 3, The Meltdown. Wait.
What did you do?
The crack news team, ladies and gentlemen. I just looked at the release date on this thing. I thought this thing came out recently. It must have gotten re-released. Because this thing dropped in the past.
I'm already...
Think of a time way back in the fall of 2010. Think about what you were doing back then, because that's when Glacier 3 The Meltdown came out. This thing was developed by Funbox and published by KISS Limited.
Jeez.
Let me give you the pitch.
All right.
Since the press discovered multi-billionaire Bob Slayer's best-kept secret, the illegal glacier races, there are more applications than ever before for this deadly, crazy race. New contenders have entered the race. Their vehicles are faster, stronger, and equipped with new experimental kind of weapons. Every each contender believes that their car is best equipped and will lead them to victory and an unthinkable amount of prize money.
Unthinkable. I can think of a pretty high number, but go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like I can wrap my mind around it, but these contenders cannot. In Glacier 3, you can select one of the 8 powerful cars. Find out what car and weapons work best in which tracks, or work best with your strategy.
I'll take a Ford Taurus with a chain gun, rail gun, whatever you call it, and then at the Indianapolis 500. Let's see what kind of damage I can do.
I'll take a Kia Rio and a potato gun at the Mall of America. Will you go for the fastest time and leave all other contenders behind in dust?
Nah.
Or will you just turn around and blow them into pieces?
Now, is there a third way?
No, only two. And if you're not sold on that, just sit down and experience these key features.
Oh, boy.
More heavier and cooler weapons! Exclamation point.
Nice.
More battle cars.
Okay.
More better and interactive tracks. And loads of more features.
Like what, though? I mean, you haven't... What other features could they possibly put into a game that already has every feature I adore?
I love the backstory for... I love the notion of multi-billionaire Bob Slayer.
The mogul who behind the scenes is putting on this crazy-ass race.
Yeah, who was keeping it secret that he was holding these glacier races. And then somehow the secret was revealed and everyone's like... This is the greatest thing of all time! Bob, why'd you keep this so secret from us?
Because you couldn't handle the amount of money that it will be awarded at the end of it.
Bob fucking Slayer. There's a certain age at which you're supposed to graduate from naming characters something like Bob Slayer.
Yeah, yeah.
These developers at Funbox, they're not quite there yet.
I love the idea that they're sitting around a table and they're like, what's a tough name? Does anyone here know a tough name?
Well, how about Jack Stone? Not tough enough. That's just... I don't feel like I would get beaten up by Jack Stone.
What about Thomas Nathan Turner? But wait, we just used the initials TNT.
All right, you're on to something. Top Sizzlers, your top stories for this, the year of our Lord, 2014, whatever week it was, something in January.
The
20th.
Sure.
These are your hottest fucking stories. From January 20th until now.
Whatever time you're listening to this. 3 years in the future or further.
stories don't get much hotter than Candy Crush Saga,
duh,
which I was playing last week,
yeah,
has made huge news this week because Candy Crush Saga and the makers of Candy Crush King believe that they now own the word saga and are going after all contenders.
What?
It's only a matter of time before they now figure out that instead of focusing on Saga, they could make a lot more money owning the words Call, Duty, or Pokemon. Like, I feel like Saga is not the optimal word here to choose, but that's the word they've chosen. They've gone after a recent game that came out, kind of an indie developed game called The Banner Saga. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No, but I mean, I imagine there's a million games with Saga in it, so...
Yeah, and this is just a recent one. It's a turn-based role-playing game. Looks nothing like Candy Crush. There's no way in hell anyone would ever confuse the two. But Candy Crush Saga and their makers, King Incorporated, have filed a lawsuit against Banner Saga.
Jesus.
Essentially saying, you're gonna... people will confuse your game with ours, so stop using Saga and change your name.
Wow. That, yeah. I mean, that is bold bullshit for them to pull on anyone.
It's goddamn silliness. And Pete Davison at usgamer.net did a cool article where he went through all of King Incorporated's games,
mm-hmm,
and demonstrated how each of their games is actually a ripoff of a different game.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is their business model. Is Candy Crush Saga is Bejeweled. Pet Rescue Saga is Bejeweled. Farm Heroes Saga is Bejeweled. Papa Pear Saga is Peggle. Bubble Witch Saga is Bust a Move. All of their games are other games, and they're going after Banner Saga for having Saga in the name.
Wow. It's just so hypocritical. Fuck them. I don't pay money to them anyway, but fuck them. That's just so stupid.
So, next story, next top sizzler. A lot of heat's coming on Nintendo recently because they released some financials and they fucking sucked.
Yeah, they blew it.
So this story broke on Yahoo. Nintendo basically says fuck it and starts work on a new console?
Holy shit.
That's my headline. That wasn't Yahoo's.
Okay, I was like... That's a good headline. That's good. That's got some grip to it.
The real headline, following Wii U flop, Nintendo reportedly already prepping next-gen Fusion console.
What does that mean? Like, whenever I hear fusion, I start thinking of cuisine and how much I don't care for fusion cuisine.
So. Yeah, you're more of a Guy Fieri type of, or Fieri, or whatever the fuck his name. He doesn't fuse anything but cheese,
yeah,
and grime.
He fuses your arteries together is what he does. Yeah.
Well, the rumor is from very reputable sources, whatever that means, that Nintendo is already planning a next console that will be basically your standard kind of console, but the DS would be a crucial component.
Hmm.
So they're kind of taking the Wii U strategy, but doing what they should have done, which was make the 3DS their primary hardware seller into this tied together experience with the main console, which is a good idea, and they should have already been doing it.
So you would have the handheld component, and then you would somehow like hook it to the console and play the games through the console, or would the console itself have games?
It would be like one thing, you know, so you'd be sharing libraries between, you could use your DS, you know, to kick images over to your TV or, you know, whatever.
Gotcha.
Which is, you know, it's a good idea. I love the idea that Nintendo is basically like, they've already given up on the Wii U.
We done goofed.
I imagine like... at meetings now, executives sitting down at a table, and like somebody comes in and they're like, we're working on the, you know, we're on part of that new Zelda team on that Wii U game. And the executives are like, Wii U? What are you talking about? Like, that console we made. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I love the picture of this idea of Nintendo executives in total denial over the Wii U's existence. Like, they've wiped it off. They've taken all the consoles out of the headquarters, all the imagery's down, and they're just acting like it never happened.
How many executives threw themselves out of windows or fell on a sword just to get out of this?
And that's one of the great things about Japanese game development, is that they fess up when they fuck up. And they've already, the Nintendo executives have already said, Wii U fucking sucks. We're sorry.
When the train, if you can bring it to a screeching halt, Well, in this case, you know, it's like more, it's not really a train because it didn't have much energy behind it, but yeah, but you know, there wasn't a lot of steam behind the Wii U. No. But if you can bring it to, if you can bring that disaster to a halt right now, you avoid future losses, which is the best strategy ever, is fucking cut ties. Cut the cord on it, put out the emergency chute, and land as safely as you can into a better console.
The Wii U launches like on the 4th of July when you'd get like, you go to the fireworks store and you'd get some huge tube and you'd anticipate it, and then you'd light it off and it would be a dud or something.
Yeah.
And that kind of was what the Wii U launch was, is that there was this anticipation where, oh man, the Wii was such a massive hit. They totally changed the game. The Wii U came out and just no one gave a shit. No one. It had it didn't even sell out its launch. It was there. You could go to any store and get a Wii U. It was the biggest non-starter of a console that I can remember in my lifetime, I think.
I'm curious how developers are going to respond to it, because, you know, if you and I were developing a game and we're like, shit, you know, this is, it's slated for Q3 of 2014, and now knowing that it's a dead system.
The rumor is that they've lost all third-party support. There's no hope for any third-party games getting released on the Wii U. That's even from big publishers like EA. They're not even going to shit their games out on that system anymore.
Jesus Christ. This is a...
Yeah, it's... You're basically buying a machine to play Nintendo first-party titles.
Yeah, they beefed it.
Final story, Chris. We're going to test your knowledge once again. As is the tradition in the world's hottest game news segment.
Sure, yeah. Go for it. I know everything.
So, Pornhub.com, which, Chris, I imagine you are a huge fan.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of all the tube sites. Any of them. You name it. I've been there.
So, Pornhub.com has released some interesting data.
Okay.
What they did was... they charted traffic just from consoles, and they have aggregated the top porn search terms by console.
Okay.
Which is the greatest list of all time. So we've got Xbox, PS3, PS4, Wii,
okay.
And I've got a list of the top 10 most searched porn terms for each of those consoles.
So what I have to do is first identify what type of person uses the console.
Yes.
Then from there extrapolate what kind of porn would they be searching for?
So let's, I mean...
Oh my God. Okay.
I don't know how to run this. I just think you should try to see what you can come up with. There are some significant differences. For Xbox, for most of them, they're the same terms kind of mixed up in order.
Okay.
But there is one term that really sticks out for the Wii.
It sticks out for the Wii.
Yeah. But they all mainly have the same terms in different order.
Okay.
But the Wii has one term that sticks out like a sore thumb.
Oh, God.
It's really interesting. But what do you think?
Well, let me eliminate right off the bat my personal favorite. you know, the cream pie is probably not on there.
Judges, is cream pie? Does cream pie make the top 10 on any of the consoles?
Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please.
No.
No!
Cream pie is not.
Well, that's because I'm not using their searches on the. It would be an exclusively number one search term. Okay. Well, I'm going to say this is because it is a widely searched term regardless. I'm going to say teens.
Yes, teen makes all of the lists.
Oh, look at that.
And it is the number one search term on, I'm guessing this is the Xbox 360. They just have Xbox. But teen is the number one search term on Xbox. It is the number four search term on PS3. The number two on PS4, for whatever reason. And then the number three on the Wii.
Okay.
So PS4 users dig teens more than PS3 users.
Interesting. So, okay, well, on the flip side of teens, of course, it's, I don't, hang on. Let me consult my favorite porn website and look at some of their... okay, so I'm looking at some tags. And of course, okay, I don't know if this will be the same thing, but because they... my favorite porn website, which will not get a plug. Because
you want to keep it a secret. That's right. You don't want anyone to accept affecting your download.
That's right. But they break it into two. I consider it one thing. I would say MILF or mature.
MILF is the number one search term on both PS3 and PS4. So you've gotten the number one search terms on Xbox and all Sony platforms. The question is, what is the number one term on the fucking Wii?
So, all right. So the Wii's user base is, I'm guessing it's like Asian people. I don't know. I mean, who play? This is this the...
Because it's a Japanese manufacturer?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me see it. Let me just check if this is U.S. only traffic.
Okay.
And
because that'll help me.
They don't say if it's U.S. only. I'm going to assume that it is, just by the way I know about how this...
Because I was going to say, if it's like, if it were open to the Japanese market, we all know that they're crazy about their porn, and they do... They have, you know, bukkake, tentacle porn, hentai. They got all sorts of shit going on over there. So I don't know. But if it's just the U.S. market, boy, what would young people be looking for? I mean, I'm trying to think of what my... I'm trying to think of what I cared about when I was 14, and it's just not the same. I mean, we were talking about porn the other day, and it's just not the same as when we were kids. I don't know. I'm going to say, like, college girls or something. I don't know. What the fuck is this? This is so dumb.
You almost had it, but you backed out. The number one most searched term on the Nintendo Wii.
Wait, is it one of the three I... Wait.
So, yes.
Hentai?
Yes.
No! No way!
The number one most searched term. And this appears... on the other lists, but relatively low.
Holy shit.
It appears at number one, hentai. Whereas on PS4, it's number 9. PS3, it's 10. And Xbox, it's number 6.
Wow.
Now, the Wii list also has one other thing that sticks out, which is that it has another term that does not appear on any of the other lists.
It doesn't appear.
Which is at the number 9 slot on the Nintendo Wii list is Big Dick.
who looks for that?
So rounding out the other lists, just the top five. Xbox is teen, lesbian, ebony, MILF, squirt. PS3 is MILF, ebony, lesbian, teen, squirt.
So they kind of just sort of flip-flop a little bit in their top, what, three or four. Interesting.
These fucking terms. MILF, teen, ebony, lesbian, big tits for PS4. And the Wii, hentai, lesbian, teen, ebony, MILF.
Wow. Do any of them have, let me look, I'm looking at my favorite site again. Does any of them have, let's see, perky tits? I'm just looking at some face sitting. what about
the depraved existences we live?
Pussy cum. Isn't that the same as a creep? Maybe not. Maybe it's an out. Maybe it's an external instead of internal. What am I talking about?
And not surprisingly, there are no searches for consensual, loving sex or emotional chemistry or dignity or respect or intellect or interest in the other person as a human being.
Why would there be when you can search just glory hole, good cock, glasses? If that's your thing, just
thick lips, puffy nips,
squirts. Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, this is a gaming podcast, and that was your world's hottest gaming news. We'll be right back. This is our wild card segment. We're going to do a time trial this week. We're two depressingly nostalgic people that can't stop living in the past and incessantly need to drum up stuff from the past and wonder why life is no longer that good anymore. So this is our conduit to those kinds of feelings. We're going to put 10 seconds on the clock.
10 seconds?
10 minutes on the clock. I'm tired.
Yeah. I'm tired. I'm tired of this. Anyone else with me?
Yeah, are you on board for this, audience? It's late. I have the worst sinus infection.
I just want to lay down and watch Sharks Tank or Dragon's Den or whatever it's called.
I gotta check out this Dragon's Den. I'm one of the world's biggest Shark Tank fans.
Well, of course, you know, Shark Tank is the spinoff of Dragon's Den from the UK, but then the second spinoff was Dragon's Den Canada, and then Shark Tank is the spinoff of those two. So Shark Tank is the third incarnation, albeit the best of
the
three.
Who's your favorite Shark Tank host? Or Shark Tank Shark.
I really enjoy Mark Cuban. I think that he's a lot of fun to see. I like some of the deals he comes up with. He bought out a pretzel lady's business in one of the last episodes I watched and like immediately put her in all of his, because I think he owns Landmark Theaters or something like that. So this lady instantly had access to the Mavericks and all Landmark Theaters nationwide with her business. It was pretty interesting.
I'm a big Barbara fan.
She's kind of got this no guff attitude to her.
Yeah, but I feel like she's stern but fair. Yeah. Like I think she's the least bullshitty of all of them in a way.
Yeah.
But I also like Cuban's, you know, Cuban's a dickhead.
Oh yeah, but I get where he's coming from. Like, yeah. when he undercuts one of the other sharks, or when he tells the other sharks they're bullshit, or when he tells a contestant that they're an asshole for what they're trying to pitch. I mean, it's just, I love when he sinks their ship. I love it.
And I appreciate Kevin O'Leary's playing the villain. I understand what he's doing and I appreciate it. And I love how no one ever takes a deal with it.
But it seems like when they do, the people who do are pretty successful. I don't know. It seems like it's a very successful. The guy knows what he's talking about. I actually like Robert a lot. He seems like he makes a lot of sense. And sometimes I feel bad when he misses out on a deal. He seems to get cut out a lot on deals.
Yeah, he's like, hey, come on, guys.
Yeah. Hey, wait up for me. I think we would do poorly on Shark's Tank if we were pitching our product, which is this podcast. I don't think anyone would invest in it.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a podcast right now.
Yeah. maybe we'll just put 5 minutes up on the clock since we just ate the first five talking about fucking Shark Tank.
10 minutes on the clock. Punch it in. The topic. What was the topic again? I legitimately forgot.
Memorable game releases?
Oh, yeah. So 10 minutes on the clock. I want to talk about times you remember when a game got released and it was a big fucking deal in your life. Chris, what's the one that stands out for you? Game release.
Joe Montana Sports Talk Football.
Really?
Is one of my... Yes, it was a huge deal because it would talk to you, man. I remember looking in the catalog and
what
seeing
catalog?
It was I'm pretty sure it was the JCPenney catalog for Christmas 1992, I believe. And or maybe it was 91, I can't remember. But I remember looking at that, and then they also ran a pretty heavy commercial campaign, you know, on TV. And I remember marveling at it with my brother and a few of the friends up the street, just thinking, like, this is truly a revolutionary game. Like, we're going to be able to hear plays being called in real time. I mean, little did we know that it was just going to be a gigantic turd of a game, but it was the next step. We were huge Tecmo Super Bowl fans, and I thought for sure that this was the next generation of games. And of course, I suppose it did usher in the era of, you know, then Bill Walsh college football came out, and that had announcers in it and, you know, sort of color commentary going on. I think that in a way, Joe Montana Sports Talk Football paved the way for the future of how games would be would run. And I think football was the pioneering sport that did that, because if I remember correctly, even NHLPA 93, like, they would say a few custom sayings, or you would hear a guy go like, "Ugh," or something like that. But in terms of the amount of sayings in the game, I think Joe Montana really, I think that was a big deal.
That was one of the cool things about that era of video games, is that you'd hear all the information you would get would be maybe a little snippet in a gaming magazine.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a giant release, maybe 20 seconds on a local news station or something. And then you just have catalog imagery, and your mind would do the rest. All you needed was some box art.
Yep, and you filled in the blanks.
Yeah, and the anticipation for the game was just built on all of this imagination that just rarely did a game really deliver. I've got a different kind of story in that I can vividly remember Double Dragon coming out on the NES.
Yeah.
And this was a game that we had played in little bits and pieces at arcades, but the Double Dragon came out in 88.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't go to arcades myself. So I had played Double Dragon and loved it at arcades, but it was only in little bursts. And for some reason, this game in particular captured my block's imagination. We were all Double Dragon fans, and we all somehow at 7, 8, 9 years old knew it was coming out. And we knew the date it was coming out. And only one kid could convince his parents to get him the game on the day of release. So we all knew, and this was just block, you know, all the block was in on this. And his name was Kevin. His parents always kind of spoiled him. He had a frog in his bathroom. He spit on his carpet. This kid was out of control. He was like a mob boss.
Wow.
His parents took him, and I remember it was like dusk. He comes back. We're all waiting on the block, like sitting on the stoop, you know, smoking cigarettes, talking with Bronx accents. He comes back. We rush to his house and just crowd around the television as he puts the goddamn cartridge in, and Double Dragon suddenly is transported from the arcade to the home. It blew all of our minds, and it ended up being a good game on top of it all.
If I can move on to my next pick, because I don't have anything to add to that except for the fact that, like, I remember a few games for the NES coming out that were just, you know, when they came out, it was a huge deal, actually. I'm trying to think of
Super Mario 3 was massive.
It was the biggest. I think that was probably the biggest unveiling of a game because it also had riding behind it, The Wizard was in theaters, so that's
and
a
I've
huge
been meaning
deal.
To do a close quarters. I went to one of the Nintendo World Championships. I did not compete, but I went and played Super Mario.
I mean, that's such an amazing memory to have. The next one I'm going to bring up, because actually I was a lot of mine are Sega related, because that's the system I had in the 90s. And I can't really speak to Atari, because I played the games my dad bought for us. So
yeah,
I don't remember.
Here. And I played a lot of, my dad would go and buy cheap carts for just a few bucks, if I recall, from Toys R Us.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, I was at the whims of whatever my dad wanted to buy. But once we had that Genesis, it was like, you know, Earthworm Jim came out, and that was a huge deal because it used animation and voice acting and shit like that.
Clearly in your house, voice acting was a big deal.
It was a big deal. But then there's games like Road Rash, it just looked from what we could see in the magazine that we subscribed to some gaming magazine that is now obviously defunct.
Not GamePro?
No. It was some other. It was like funnier than GamePro. The whole point of it was they had this one contributor named Bill, and he was like the funny guy. And
which is a rip off of Sushi X, I'm sure, from GamePro.
His photo for that they would put next to any article he wrote was like him looking all like with a grimace and all mean, and then he would write, you know, scathing reviews of stuff. It was funny when we were kids. But the next biggest release I can think of was seventh grade Mortal Kombat. When that came out, I remember sitting in Mr. Morris's science class in seventh grade, and we were all intrigued because Jamar Mitchell was going to get out of school, I think, early to go pick up the Sega version, which included, you know, being able to rip out the person's spine and shit like that. It was huge. I mean, that was a huge deal.
That was one of those games that broke through simply because of the media furor that was created over that game, that built up the anticipation
for
that release. That reminds me of, probably one of my fondest game release memories was Zelda Ocarina of Time, in which I convinced, you know, and this was, I think I was in high school at this point. Yeah, it was 98. So I was nearly an adult, if not an adult. Because I was a day into adulthood when this game came out. And my mom let me just skip school. She's just like, go for it. So got in my car, went to Lakeside Mall to Electronics Boutique.
Nice.
Wherein I had the cartridge ordered and got in a big ass line with a bunch of losers like myself. And got that game. You know, not knowing if it was going to be good or not. You know, there was a kind of pedigree there with Zelda, but it felt like with Ocarina of Time, some time had passed and you'd had Mario 64, which was huge, you know, change and was great. And there was this anticipation for Ocarina of Time. It was, I think I remember seeing on GameSpot or whatever that it was going to be good. Stood in line, went straight home, and I can remember going home. I can remember sitting down. I can remember putting the cartridge in, turning it on. And that game has one of the greatest start screens of all time with like this flute music. Mm-hmm. And Link riding with Epona over the rolling hills, and it's very calm. And the game ends up being one of the greatest games of all time. I'm not at school. It was like, just take me back there now. I'm here instead. I want to be there experiencing that.
Oh. Yeah, you know, again, I could go back to 92 and 93 were like the golden era for me for gaming. So I could talk about Buster Douglas Boxing being released.
Wasn't that a piece of shit?
Yes, of course.
All your memories are about piece of shit games.
No, that was a joke. I didn't give a shit about Buster Douglas Boxing. Oh, shit. But Evander Holyfield Boxing, now that was a good game. But or I could also talk about Desert Strike, Jungle Strike, Urban Strike. Those were great games when they were released, I thought. But I want to actually move forward in time to the year 2001, when I think this might have been my first or second MMORPG, World War II Online. And I was really excited about this. There was a lot of hype around the game, and at least from what I could tell, because this was promising to be a game where you could play as, you know, the Axis or the Allies. You could fly planes. You could be a trooper, a soldier. You could be a boat. It was going to be on a large scale, a gigantic game of World War II. And the game never panned out. It's still out there. It's still going on, by the way. The game is still being played. They relaunched it in 2006, and I think you can play it for free now, but it's still going. The Battlefront lines are still drawn on the map if you go to their website. The other big release that same year, though, and I think this kind of defined how into MMOs I got, and that was Dark Age of Camelot, which was a huge game for me. You guys were still, I think, maybe even playing EQ at the time. I don't know. It might have fallen out of fashion by 2001. I'm not sure.
Hell no!
But I was moving on to Dark Age of Camelot, and I loved it. It's still a beloved game because it brought together, you had the battlefield, like you had the realms, and you'd do quests within your realms, but then you would go outside of the realms to the big battlegrounds. And you would have these battles with 50, 100 people on the screen if your graphics card could handle it. And you'd be just killing motherfuckers with magic and arrows and shit and taking keeps. It was incredible.
It was one of the only MMOs to date that successfully had world PvP.
Yeah.
not many have, many have tried and none have really gotten that right for some reason. That has to be 10 minutes, right?
Well, do you have any more? I was really quickly going to say, also, EQ2 was a big release for me. I think it was for you, too. And then Vice City.
And EQ2 is huge disappointment.
Oh, God.
Massive disappointment. I can recall us being at the Sterling Pub and arguing with some son of a bitch about WoW versus EQ2 coming out. And I was such an EQ fanboy that I was like, there's no way WoW is going to be any good. Whoever you were, sir, I apologize. You were right. I was a moron. WoW is one of, is in my top five games of all time.
Yeah.
EQ2 doesn't crack the top 5,000.
What's funny,
that
too.
Game sucks dick.
What's great about it, too, was I remember, like, New Year's Eve 2004, me and my ex-girlfriend were playing games together for New Year's Eve because we didn't do anything else, really. I mean, there was nothing going on in our lives. But and we didn't really love one another. So I was playing EQ2 because I was a holdout. I was still thinking it was still a great game. And she was busy playing World of Warcraft.
And you were trying not to like it. I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big, that fractured our relationship. She ended up sort of getting more involved with her guild. And then she invited coworkers into the guild. Then she started to like one of the coworkers. I mean, it totally tragically broke up what could have been a perfectly normal relationship outside of her rampant Christianity and other things that were probably not compatible with me or my person. But
I know a guy to this day that is like you were.
Oh no.
In relation to WoW, in that he refuses to play it and has played a succession of utter shit MMOs.
Wow.
And just out of pure stubbornness will never give WoW a shot. And it's like going throughout your life and eating cardboard right. While everyone around you is eating pizza. And you're like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, it blows my mind that this guy loves a genre and is not playing the game that perfected the genre.
What's most upsetting about that, though, is the reality is he will never get the experience of WoW because it's not the same as it was when we were playing. So
yeah,
he missed a time and a place is gone in his life because of his stubbornness.
To enjoy WoW now, you have to be on some level riding a nostalgia wave.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, that's 10 minutes. I mean, this is like, this podcast is cresting on an hour. I can't even believe I gave you people that much of my life.
SuperDumbGames.com.
Buster Douglas Boxing. Check it out.
What do we... Splatterhouse 2 should be out soon.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that great, but... Go...
You know what? Check out our Tumblr. I'm blowing up our Tumblr. I am one of the world's most renowned in-game photographers, and superdumbgames.tumblr.com has now become my photography blog. You can check out all my hot pics taken inside of Grand Theft Auto 5. Check them out.
When are we going to start selling prints of those?
I'm accepting offers. And there are likes being gotten on Tumblr.
Unlike with this podcast, where nobody rates us, nobody subscribes.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't even know anymore. www.superdumbgames.com.
The only thing that keeps me going is when I listen to other podcasts and think, oh my God.
We're better?
like if our podcast doesn't exist, then people are forced to listen to this shit.
And they don't have what we have, which is
big dick.
Yeah. That's true, but they also don't have a kick-ass outro. Hit it.
games. Dumb games. Super dumb games.